Practical Prepping Podcast. We're helping everyday people become prepared for whatever emergencies come our way. Where gear is good, but knowledge is better, because the more you know, the less you have to carry. We're your hosts, Mark and Krista Lawley.
You know, with some of the things going on today, you look around the world, it makes you just want to take your bug-out bag and go live in the woods for the rest of your life.
Well, I guess some people do feel that way from time to time. You know, some of us have those kind of days, and particularly after a COVID lockdown year of 2020, I imagine a lot of us would just like to take a bug-out bag and traipse into the woods and just go away for a couple of days.
Well, a couple of days, yes. That would be good. That would be fun, and we've got a trip planned where we're actually going to be sleeping in the woods coming up before too long.
Yes, I was telling Mark that my idea of roughing it is black and white TV. I think I'm going to find out what tent sleep camping is all about, so we're going to be doing that in May, so that's going to be fun.
And I'm betting she's going to have such a good time, she's going to be ready to go back.
We'll see.
But you know, prepping is not all bug out bags and bushcraft. Now, we'll be practicing a little bit of bushcraft there. We won't be building a shelter. We'll be putting up our tent, but we'll be building a fire. We'll be doing a few other things.
Cooking
outside, and we're going to be spending some time in the woods. Mm-hmm. Bugging in or hunkering down or sheltering in place is much more likely during the average situation faced by most of us. Rather than bugging out, we're bugging in.
You know, most people will not bug out during like a winter storm or a power outage or even a COVID lockdown. In fact, just the opposite. We were told to not go out. We were told to stay in. And so most people actually did that and will continue to do that regardless of what the situation is, power outage, or even a winter storm or even another lockdown.
Most any situation that we get into. But we need to be prepared for both possibilities because there are some times that we don't have a choice but to bug out. Now, we're not necessarily talking about an SHTF situation here, but we are talking about things like fires, earthquakes, floods, things doing structural damage to our residents, chemical spills that cause us to
have to evacuate.
And you may not call that bugging out, but it's bugging out.
If you're having to leave your home for a short or elongated period of time, that's a form of bugging out.
Right. We do talk about our get home bags. A lot of people call these the bug out bag, but we look at a bug out bag as quite different than the one that you're going to go live in the woods and repopulate the earth. We look at the bug out bag as we need to grab this bag and go to the hospital with a family member, or in that evacuation situation where we need to bug out for a few days, go to a hotel, motel,
or an EMA shelter
or wherever we need to go, family member, you know, we're going to need clothes. So that's what we personally look at as a bug out bag. But what a lot of people call a bug out bag is actually more of a get home bag. The bug out bag is intended to get you from where you are to your bug out location. Now, if we are put in a situation where we have to bug out, we're probably going to the hospital with a family member. We may be having to go to a family member's house or even a motel or a hotel because of a chemical spill nearby, anything like that. And ours is not carrying so much fire starting equipment and cooking equipment and things like that. We have the fire starting in our EDC bags, but we're carrying things that will take us through a few days, changes of clothes. We've got some snacks. We'll grab those, put in the bag if we're going to something like a hospital waiting room, and we're going to be there for a while. We need to take those. Well, let's talk about the get-home bag as well. Your get-home bag is to get you from wherever you happen to be when the world goes to crap or you get stranded.
I kind of think of the bug-out bag as I'm still in some form of civilization somehow, even if an emergency has taken place. And I think of a get-home bag as a little bit more needing the bushcraft type thing of I may be traipsing through the woods, I may be taking alternative routes to get home because I'm not home and I want to get there.
And we may be on foot.
very much on foot. So the get home bag's going to have the comfortable shoes in there as well.
Right. Now, I work 26 miles from home, and you're subject to be anywhere from 3 miles to 30 to 50 miles from home just in your daily work. And so some situations could occur that would cause us to have to try to get home on our feet. And it may take 2 or 3 days, depending on how far we are away. So we want
what's going to be in that get-home bag can very much differ from the bug-out bag.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What we're going to talk about tonight is some things that you may have forgotten to put in your bug-out bag. Now, we're not saying that you need everything on this list. We're saying there may be something on here that you say, hey, that's a really good idea. I haven't thought of that. And I'm going to put that in my bag.
Yes, this is just a comprehensive list, and you can pick and choose what you think is going to best suit your needs. I mean, it's your decision to make what you believe is necessary.
Absolutely. Your get-home bag is your bag. You put what you need in it. Now, we're not going to cover some of the items that are almost universally included. We're not going to talk about knives. We're not going to talk about fire starting, first aid kit, or ammo. But we're going to talk about those things that are often overlooked. Now, hopefully you'll have all of these or have everything that you need, but we're betting that there's at least one on this list that you might have missed.
One of those that very important would be extra socks. You'd be amazed how much you would need to have an extra change of socks, not just shoes, but socks are very important for your feet. And this is no matter what the season, summer, winter, spring, or fall, that extra bit of insulation and dry protection for your feet can be extreme comfort and actually medically necessary.
Especially if your feet have gotten wet, you may want to be able to change your socks.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I had not thought about and ran across this the other day, and I'm going to put it in my get-home bag, and I put it on this list, and that's foot powder.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to rub those feet down, if I am taking a day or two to get home, I may want to powder those feet, especially at night.
Yes, that's just to prevent fungus and moisture and all the things that can ravage your feet when you're having a hard time walking on them anyway.
And keep you from having stinky feet.
Yeah, fungusy feet.
You know, sometimes when we take off walking long distance, we wind up with some blisters.
Mm.
Some mole skin would be a good thing to have in that bag.
What do you mean by mole skin?
It's that little stick-on stuff, and it will protect between the blister and the shoe.
Okay, I'll admit I've never heard of that.
Okay.
This is new to me.
We're going to do some research on that for you.
Folks, I was looking at him like a mule looks at a new gate.
I was.
A mole skin? What in the hen house is that?
But it's something to put over an abrasive area on especially your heel or the side of your foot or the top of your toe in some cases that's getting rubbed.
I mean, I think that would be important to have. You know, sometimes I get tight situations with my feet and toes, and that might be something I'd want in a non-emergency situation.
Right. This
just
is
because.
Something you want to look at.
Okay.
And it's something to protect that area. Now, here's a really good one, especially down here in the South, where we say we have mosquitoes the size of crows.
Some say that the mosquito is Alabama's state bird.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that our state bird runs from our mosquitoes.
And that is to have a good insect repellent. There are a lot of types on the market. You may go for some that have DEET in them. You may go for some that are non-DEET. Lots of choices out there, but an insect repellent is pretty good idea to have, especially when we've got warm weather months in the South, which is 3/4 of the year.
And especially if you're having to try to sleep at night.
Absolutely. We don't want to be like those naked and afraid folks.
Right, with 97 mosquito bites on each leg.
No.
Plus all the other areas. Now, another thing, we're probably going to be traveling during the daytime. Another good thing to have is sunscreen. Do you put sunscreen in your bag?
And sunscreen is important to put on. Anywhere the sun can touch your skin is a place to put sunscreen. And so let me just caution everyone. Sometimes we forget the tops of our ears, the back of our neck, areas like that. If the sun can touch the skin, that's where the sunscreen needs to go. I've known people to even spray a little bit of it on their scalp and hairline.
Well, I was just about to say, some of us, there's this little spot back here that gets a lot more sun than the rest of our head.
The hair's a little bit thin.
And so it's not a bad idea to put some of that on, but hopefully you'll be wearing some type of ball cap or hat to protect your head and your that area from the elements. But sunscreen's a great thing to have. Now, here's something we carry in our bags just because back when I was a kid hunting and stuff, I've gotten caught without it and had to use leaves.
You're talking about bathroom tissue?
Yes, ma'am.
Good old-fashioned toilet paper.
The COVID special.
Yeah.
And the easiest way we've found is take that roll out of the middle, flatten it down, put it in a Ziploc bag, squash as much air out of it as you can, and seal that thing off and throw it in your bag. You've got it if you need it. And a secondary benefit to that is you've got another Ziploc bag.
Exactly. We have added a way for our listeners who would like to support the podcast to do so. We love our coffee, so you can go to buymeacoffee.com/practicalprep and buy us a cup of coffee. That's buymeacoffee.com/practicalprep. Something else you want to take along with you are some over-the-counter medicines, particularly things like for pain or stomach issues. So you may want to take some headache medicine. Some of you will take Tylenol. Some of you take Motrin. Some will take Aleve.
Oxycontin.
Whatever it is you take for pain, be careful with that. Some others you'll want to take along would be something like an Imodium, which is an anti-diarrheal, very effective medicine. I've used it.
You may want to take
Pepto-Bismol. Makes those real convenient little caplets now. Also take some multivitamins. If you're in a get-home situation and you're going to be walking for a couple of 3 days, you're going to deplete all of your nutrition, and you're going to need to supplement with some multivitamins with minerals as well.
Right. Now, another thing that's handy to have is a small camp axe or a machete.
Got to cut some of that brush sometimes.
You might have to cut some brush. You might have to cut something to make a shelter. Mm-hmm. You may need to cut up some firewood. You may need to split some kindling, something like that.
Absolutely. You've got to have a capable cutting tool of some sort.
Now, we're talking about making a shelter. A whole lot easier way to make a shelter than cutting down 29 small trees and building a shelter and a debris shelter is to carry a light tarp or plastic sheeting. It really doesn't take up much room in your bag, and you can put that over a fallen tree. You can cut a small tree and prop it up in some way, and it's a very, very effective way to build a shelter.
And it's reusable. You know, if you're building a wood shelter, you're leaving it behind. But if you take a tarp or plastic sheeting, something that has a good heavy thickness, what they call a mill, M-I-L, something that has enough presence to shelter you and keep the rain off, you can also shake it dry, fold it back up, take it with you.
And use it the next night.
Absolutely.
All right. While we're on the road, you were talking about taking some multivitamins because we're going to be depleting our nutrition, and that's some food. Now, we're probably not going to be able to carry enough food in our bag, in our get-home bag, especially if we're going to have to carry it or wear it, to give us 3 square meals a day. But there are some things that we can carry that we can snack on as we go, some things that we can make meals out of if we need to. One of those is jerky. You and I were talking about making some jerky today, or we were talking today about making some jerky, and I want to do that here shortly. And I like carrying that jerky in my bag. I like carrying some in my EDC bag. It makes a good snack from time to time. But if you're having to hoof it home, that jerky would be good to have. Some type of nuts, mixed nuts, are good to carry. They do have a little more weight to them, but I think they're probably beneficial enough to justify that. And then something that we carry in our bags is some instant soup packages.
Yes, because we'll have some water and water bottles, and we would like to be able to heat up some water in one of our single-walled stainless steel water bottles. We'll be talking about that in a second, but a single-walled stainless steel water type carrying bottle is great for putting over a fire and heating up some water. And you can throw a powdered soup packet in there. And it'll give you the salt and the carbs that would be necessary to replenish your energy. I wanted to jump back to those. Some of our listeners are allergic to nuts, tree nuts, ground nuts of all types. If that's your case, then carry seeds instead. Carry pumpkin seeds, lentils,
dried fruit.
Dried vegetables, dried types of those types of things can also be a good non-perishable food item to carry around for you.
Now, a good thing to carry, and this is not good for those with nut allergies, but the Payday candy bar is about as good of a high-energy, quick energy bar that you can have.
They call that the Prepper's candy bar.
The Prepper's mm-hmm. candy bar. That nougat gives you a quick pickup, and those peanuts kind of level it out.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. If there's room for it, you'll want some sort of small pot or a pan or even a camp cooking kit for heating the water. I mentioned a minute ago about the stainless steel single-walled, that's very important, single-walled water bottle, not these double-walled that are insulated or have a glass liner or something like a thermos. Those are not necessarily the types that you would put directly over a campfire, but a single-walled.
Well, if you do, that thing's going to heat up inside and it's going to wind up blowing up on
you. It'll blow up on you. You don't want that. So you want to treat a stainless steel water bottle as you would a pot, some sort of single-walled metal pot that you can heat water in and heat water for soup, hot cocoa, instant coffee, that sort of thing.
And we do carry some of those little coffee, I call them coffee tea bags.
Mm-hmm. Folgers makes a little one-use.
Single-use, and you brew it in the cup. Exactly. All you need is hot water in there and mm-hmm. let it steep for a few minutes, and it makes a pretty good cup mm-hmm. of coffee.
Very good. Something else you'll need is some water purification tablets. In addition to your water filter, we've often talked about those mini filters that can be put on top of a water bottle. Just for backup, you might still want to have some of those water purification tablets. When it comes to trying to eradicate germs and microbes and threats that are in water, more is better than less.
Right. You need two or three of everything, mm-hmm. two or three ways to do everything. So you've got your mini water filter, you've got your water purification tablets, and you can always boil it and strain it through a handkerchief or coffee filter or something like that. Mm-hmm. So
you can carry these travel-sized items like hygiene items, soap, shampoos, baby powders, deodorants. Any of those travel-sized items are great size to have and something that you can easily put into a bag because they take up such a small amount of room, but they can be such a benefit when you're out there and you need something like toothpaste. They actually make a kind of toothpaste that you don't have to rinse. You can brush your teeth with it and spit it out, and then rinse your mouth out with water and spit.
Because after a couple of days of not being able to brush your teeth, it's going to be a little bit icky. Is that a good word we can use?
It could be that. Well, also consider some of those little trowel-sized bottles of antiseptic mouthwash, the Listerines. Some of those that say that they kill germs or gingivitis, that's good to rinse your mouth if you don't have the toothbrush. And you know you can get to a toothbrush after you get to civilization. At least have something to rinse your mouth out that's antiseptic.
Right. And another thing is antiperspirant is not a bad thing to have with you, to be able to put on a little bit of antiperspirant so you don't get where you don't want to be upwind of yourself.
Right. Absolutely. Or even just a little travel pack of like baby wipes, too, to do a quick, what I call a quick bath in the woods type thing.
Okay. Now, here's something we don't think about a lot of times, but contact numbers. We don't memorize phone numbers like we used to. Mm-hmm. They're all in our phone. They're under speed dial or under contacts, and we just punch it, and it dials the number. I know very, very few phone numbers today.
Yeah, me too.
Where you go back 45 years and you knew a lot of phone
numbers. Everybody's phone number.
At least everybody that you called on a regular basis. But what about those folks that you don't call very often? What happens if your phone is damaged, if it falls in the creek, EMP takes it out?
You don't have your charger cord that you knew you should have packed and you didn't. So a written list of the contact numbers, maybe add some addresses to the most important people in your life. Maybe it's even in some sort of a little small notebook where you have extra sheets of paper if you need to leave a note. But have some written, hard copy contact phone numbers so that when you can get maybe to an operating phone or even a ham radio operator who can relay some information across the country if necessary, that would be a very good resource to have, and you'll never be sorry that you have that on you.
And here's one that we need to carry, and that's some type of signaling device. Now, we've talked about this in our preparations for tornadoes and such. We need to have some type of signaling device in our shelters, some type of way to get people's attention, a whistle, an air horn, something like that. But if we're out on the trail, we could also be using something like a signal mirror, possibly, if we see someone at a long distance and we can use that mirror to get their attention. But we need some way to signal, and so that's something that you might consider putting in your bag.
Also, when you're looking in the trial-sized items, in the hygiene items, hand sanitizer, very convenient to have. You're not going to be out there where you've got a sink and a ready bar of soap or body wash or whatever, but some hand sanitizer is just good to have on hand, pun intended.
And you may have some things that just get on your hands during your daily duties, doing the things that you need to do as you travel. And you may just want to get that off of your hand as well.
Well, so, you know, you may cut your hands, mm-hmm. and you may just need to quickly put something on there that's going to sanitize that cut. And, you know, you can tell it works because it burns. Things are alcohol-based.
It's about 85% alcohol, mm-hmm. so.
So that might be a good way to clean a cut as well.
Right. Now, this kind of goes along with contact numbers, but we need to carry a copy of our identification and possibly certain documents. If we're traveling, we lose our wallet, something like that. Well, if we've got a copy of our driver's license in our bag, and a piece of paper doesn't take up a lot of room, it doesn't take up a lot of weight. But you can actually have that for identification if you need to identify yourself.
Something else you may want to consider, and of course it's a very personal decision on your part, but that is to carry a certain amount of cash money, because there may be a situation where no credit card machines, no ATMs, maybe no banks will even be open. But if it's a cash basis with a lot of places to buy things, and you're going to need cash to be able to do that, maybe you can find a place that is selling food or water, and they're only going to take cash.
Or maybe even a vending machine along your travels.
This is why we say don't just load up with $100 bills. You're going to need to think like a vending machine mentality. Like, you're going to need single dollars. You're going to need some quarters. It's not a time to stack up on a lot of pennies, but if I were to give you some advice, I would say load up on quarters, single dollar bills, $5 bills, and maybe tens at the most. Once it comes to 20s, 50s, and hundreds, you're going to probably be faced with people not being able to give you any change. If what they have is a dollar, they're not wanting to give you all their change, and all you have is a 20, you're not getting 19 back.
Right.
So, you know, you may need to carry some real losable money in the right denominations.
Right. I'd rather pay $5 for a hot dog than $20
exactly.
for a hot dog.
And think quarters, because some vending machines may be out there that may still have electricity and can still work and so on. So just kind of think vending machine mentality as far as the amount of cash to carry. And this is not the time to carry $10,000 either. I just don't know that you'd need that much cash, but
no.
Just enough to be able to get you by 3 or 4 days.
Right. Now, what are you going to do if you are spending the night in the woods, you're spending a day in the woods, you're walking, you get bored, and you're resting up for the day? Here's something a lot of folks say to put in your bag, and that's a deck of playing cards. Something to occupy your time playing solitaire. And I'm kind of thinking solitaire is a good thing to do, because about halfway through the game, somebody walks up and says, put the 9 on the 10. So now you're rescued.
Well, that's very optimistic. But yeah, playing cards or, you know, or maybe just a paperback novel or just something that you might do to just pass the time while you've got enough light to see with. Just kind of take your mind maybe off of your emergency for a little while and just kind of occupy your mind with something innocuous and completely normal. If reading is your thing or playing cards or I don't know, maybe you have some kind of like a little, some people actually carry travel games. You know, these right. little travel games are very small. And it might be just you or maybe you and one other person, but it can be a great way to kind of get your mind fixed on another situation and give you something else to think about and maybe even take some of the edge off of your sense of stress. And that's always a good thing. That's
and
a
at
good
least
thing.
Pass a little bit of time.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, I just want to tell you about a couple of books that you need to add to your collection and give as gifts. I highly encourage that you go to Amazon and look up this title, Making Contact During Emergencies. This is information that may save your life or the life of someone you care about. If injured, lost, or found in a disaster or another type of emergency. This book was written by Mark and Krista Lally. I'm Krista and Mark is my husband. Book number two that we wrote that we're especially proud of and has gotten a lot of buzz is entitled Practical Prepping for Everyday People. This is a common sense guide on preparing for life's emergencies. And when we say practical prepping, we mean the type of emergencies you're going to find yourself in and day out. Car emergencies, dead batteries, flat tires, storm damage. The roof has gotten blown off. You find that you have no power, no electricity, no devices are working. These kinds of things are happening to somebody somewhere every single day. And we were astonished when we did a little research to find that a vast majority of people found themselves woefully unprepared for one or more of these types of emergencies. And particularly after this COVID year that we've experienced, I think a whole lot more of us are paying closer attention to things like grocery store supply chains, the ability to be able to buy gas, the ability to be able to move freely about, or what's going to happen if we do have to stay home for 3 weeks solid. Practical Prepping for Everyday People by Mark and Krista Lally, also Making Contact During Emergencies. Go to Amazon, look these up, add these to your collection. We sure appreciate it.
Now, here's something that has many, many, many uses, and that's a large, thick trash bag. We've put two in each of ours. We've rolled them up so they take up very, very little room. There's nearly no weight to it. It's just a couple of ounces. I realize that ounces turn into pounds when you're having to hike, but a couple of trash bags could come in. You can use them as ground cover. You can carry things in them. You could transport water in them if you had to.
Absolutely.
But the next item on the list, probably a little bit better for transporting water, and that's gallon-sized Ziploc bags. Now, there's a lot of things that you might be able to scavenge through the woods, and or forage is a better word, that you may be able to find some edible plants in that Ziploc bag. It's a good thing to put them in until you come to a point in time when you are ready to eat those.
Exactly. We mentioned about a hat or something to cover your head. It's nice even to have, they even make roll-up crushable hats, boonie hats. Certain ball caps can be rolled up, but maybe just some kind of head cover. You lose a lot of heat through your head, and in the wintertime, that can be a little more critical than in the summertime.
In the wintertime, it's time to put that skull cap in. It's time to put that toboggan in there. It's time to put that hoodie in the bag.
Be season appropriate.
Right. We want to be seasonally appropriate with our clothing.
Yes. So what you're actually saying, too, is pay attention to your both your bug-out bags and your get-home bags so that they're seasonally appropriate.
Right.
So that you're just not caught with in the middle of August with all your winter gear.
Both in our clothing and in our footwear. Mm-hmm. Footwear from time to time needs to be rotated out. You don't need the heavy insulated boots in the middle of August in the South, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. But you also don't need your flip-flops in the wintertime either.
Something that you are going to need from time to time in the South especially is rain gear. And there are other areas of the country and other countries that rain a lot more than we get. And if we're trying to get home, it's going to be a lot better to put that rain gear on and be able to trudge through the woods or wherever than it is to get rain soaked as we go.
Right. And we're talking about something like frog togs or some of these emergency types of rain gear that include a hood, some sort of like a poncho-like upper body covering, and if necessary, if you've got the way to carry it, even the appropriate additional pants that you can slide up over what you're wearing.
The pants make such a big difference. Mm-hmm. And now she mentioned the frog togs. They're fairly lightweight for what they are. And I have a set and I wear them from time to time, and they do a good job of keeping your lower body dry.
Mm-hmm. And some of them come in what I call safety colors, like those safety green and safety yellow. You have to determine whether or not you feel like that's an appropriate thing. If you're in a situation where you want to be found, discovered, or helped, or rescued, you maybe want to just put those frog togs on and wear them over your clothes, just whether it's raining or not, to make you more visible, perhaps from a search helicopter or something like that.
And what I was going to interject here as far as finding a quality rain suit is find what your power linemen wear. Mm. They go out in all kinds of weather to be able to repair our downed power lines, and they're often out in the rain. And these guys have some very good rain suits. So you might want to catch one of those guys and say, what kind of rain suits do you guys carry?
Mm-hmm. Right. Or just call the utility company and say, I'd like to know what's the safety gear that the linemen wear, because I'm interested in that very same kind of quality.
They're all going to wear a high visibility color, but you can get that same type of rain suit in camo or whatever you want to
where
use
would you,
there.
Where, it's a good question. Where, if I was wanting to buy high vis clothing, as just a regular person, not someone in a professional status, but where would I go to find high-vis?
I would actually search safety equipment in my area, something like a law enforcement safety equipment. You can find companies that cater to safety equipment with the high-visibility clothing, gloves, jackets, vests, rain suits, things like that. But now, as far as a camouflage type or a neutral color, I would start at one of the big box outdoor stores.
Mm-hmm. Like a Bass Pro,
store,
Cabela's, places like that.
A hiking store, something like
REI.
That.
Any store that caters to the outdoor world, the campers, the hikers, any of that type of market.
Right. And that would be a good place to look at that. Now, when you're setting up camp for the night, and it's getting dark, and you need to do some things. A lot of times it's hard to hold a flashlight and do what you need to do with two hands. Sometimes we feel like we need three hands. That's why sometimes I stick a flashlight in my mouth to hold it while I work on something with both hands. This is a great place to have a headlamp.
Yes, this is actually a flashlight that is on an elastic or an adjustable strap that straps around your forehead. And the headlamp is actually up on your forehead. And now wherever you point your head, you can see.
Yeah, and they make some ball caps with them in there too. I've got a couple of them around here. My son-in-law gave me one for hunting because we'd stay in the woods until it got very dark. And you just reach up, press the button, and you've got three or four little LED lights shining. And you can't see way down the trail, but you can see where you're walking or you can see what you're needing to work on right there. So that's a good thing to have as well.
Absolutely. And last but not least, for the time when cell towers are back online, you will need to take charger cords, a charger cord for your phone, your tablet, whatever electronic device you're carrying. Just go ahead and have some extra charger cords on hand. It's always a good idea to have some extras.
And that's a good place to have the little solar charger bank or to have a charger bank in your bag. We carry them, and I actually use mine fairly often. One of the reasons that I do that is I want to discharge it from time to time and recharge it. We've actually recorded the podcast using the solar charger bank.
Mm-hmm.
I have to feed electricity into the recorder, and I can do that off of that particular charger that we carry, that battery bank that we carry. We don't expect you to have all of these things in your bag, But maybe you've run across something here. Maybe we've mentioned something that you say, hey, that would be a good idea for me. I hadn't thought about that particular thing.
Well, we're also going to print this list and put it on the website for like a written example of this podcast. If you'd like to go back and read this list and to remind you of some things, maybe we have inspired you to think about something that needs to be in your bag and isn't. I know that I've already thought about some things that need to be in my bag that aren't. And so I'm going to take care of that as well to upgrade and update my Get Home Bag.
Moleskin being one of them.
I'm going to check out this moleskin thing because sometimes my little toes and bunions and those types of things do get irritated depending on what shoes I'm wearing. And this moleskin thing can change my life.
It could. So give us a few days and we'll get this list up on the website for you. And you can go there and reference it. And we'll also include the other things that go into a bug out bag or a get home bag. The things that we expect to be in most of those. We'll go ahead and put that in for somebody that's newly starting out building a get home bag. We want you to have as much of the information there as we can. Anything else you want to add?
Well, it's just our effort to help you to become practical preppers. We think that prepping is smart. It's fun. It certainly has made the difference for us many times over. So we know that it is a winning lifestyle and something that we're going to continue as long as we possibly can.
Never that we have had to try to get home on foot over a course of 2 or 3 days, but there have been a lot of things in that bag that have gotten used where we were.
Absolutely. And I'm thankful that we prep because we don't have to wait for an emergency to be able to use something. Basically, what we do as preppers is we are making arrangements in advance for something we're going to need later. And sure enough, that has paid the way many, many, many times.
Why else do we buy car insurance?
Exactly.
Why else do we wear seat belts?
That's a form of prepping.
Why do we buy fire extinguishers? Mm-hmm. It's just in case. Folks, we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today. And please leave us a 5-star review. That helps more people be able to hear this podcast. Share it with your friends and family. You can reach us on Facebook at Practical Prepping. Email at info@practicalprepping.info. And our website is practicalprepping.info. And as always, remember, stuff happens. Stay prepared.